Christ alone, what is our only confidence that our souls to Him belong? Who holds our days within His hand? What comes apart from His command? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing troubled soul. God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. What will we sing? Christ He lives, Christ He lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore.
Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name for ever and ever.
So, as Mark said, I'm going to be doing the first of two parts, looking at prayer, actually looking at it in very different ways. So they're kind of both standalone anyway. But Maria is going to be talking about some stuff about the early church and prayer. But I'm going to look at some words that Jesus said about prayer. So if you want to follow along, and I'd encourage you to, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 5. And we're going to get all the way up to the Lord's Prayer, but not actually cover the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to be looking at Jesus's introduction to the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is obviously what he taught people to pray. We're going to be looking at how he taught people to pray. So, prayer. Let's dive in, shall we? Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 5. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "And when you pray," and actually I'm going to stop there for a moment. We'll start going a bit quicker, I promise. But Jesus says, "When you pray," he is assuming that his followers pray. He's assuming that his disciples are prayers. And I think he would assume the same thing of his followers today, that we are people who pray. So I want to start by asking a question, which is, how's lockdown been for your prayer life? What's lockdown been like for your praying? I imagine there would be, across the world and across the nation, there'd be a spectrum of answers. There'd be all the way from, I've never prayed more because prayer is, well, there's so much going on and I need to pray, but also I've had maybe more time to pray. I've built a better rhythm to my life because I've not had some, you know, commuting or traveling or whatever it is. So prayer has been a bigger part of my life than it's ever been before. All the way through to, I've not prayed once. Lockdown has thrown me completely into disarray and I haven't found the time to pray. I haven't known how to pray. I've been busier than ever. I've been more distracted by ever. I've been trying to cope with all kinds of different things. And prayer has been a real struggle and I've not really managed. I guess in the middle, there'd be lockdown hasn't changed my prayer life at all. I had a rhythm of prayer before, whether that was lots, whether that was little, whether that was none. And I still have that rhythm now, whether that's lots, whether that's little, whether that's none. I know for me, lockdown has made prayer actually in many ways a lot harder. Because although in some ways lockdown has produced a lot of rhythm and routine to my life, the rhythm and routine that I was used to is gone. And so that was sort of where I understood and I'd sort of got a prayerful rhythm into that. And so it's been hard to sort of find that. I've been sort of reclaiming that and refining it. But for you, I'm not going to ask you to shout out, but just for a moment, think, what has your prayer life been like during lockdown? What's it looked like? And whatever the answer to that question is, I want to encourage us that Jesus, you know, he says, when you pray, he encourages us to pray. I want to encourage all of us that as we look forward, not just to settle for what our lockdown prayer life looked like, but actually to embrace prayer, maybe in a deeper, maybe in a newer way, maybe just embrace it again. So let's carry on and look at some of the things that Jesus said about what we should do when we pray. That might give us some guidance as we try to either kickstart our prayer life or refresh our prayer life, or just keep on going in our prayer life. So when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to come to the next bit in a moment. So Jesus actually says in this passage, there are two types of people that he says we should not be like when we pray. And the first is the hypocrites. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Can I ask you all to point at someone else in the room? Well, most of you did. So prayer is not about pointing at other people and asking other people to point to us. That's what the hypocrites do. The hypocrites are, their prayer life is not about what God thinks. Their prayer life is about what other people think. They're all hoping that people will point to them and think, oh, they're very impressive. We read that the hypocrites, they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Well, everyone, this is written to, Jesus is speaking to Jewish people. And the Jewish people had a set times of day when people would pray. So the question is, if you're going to be praying at those set times of day, where are you going to be for those times of day? Are you going to make sure that you're in the synagogue, and not just in the synagogue, but standing in the synagogue so that everyone can see you? Whereas the normal position for Jewish people to pray would be kneeling or sitting, but standing so that everyone can see you. Or are you going to make sure that you're in the streets, in a public place where everyone can see you stop and pause, and not just in the streets, but on a street corner, because then you get seen by two whole streets. See, it was very possible for people to order their day so that at the moment when they were told, oh, we've got to stop and pray now because it's the time to pray, oh, I just happen to be in this place where everyone is going to see me and everyone's going to see how pious I am and how religious I am and how spiritual I am. Jesus is saying, don't be like that. In fact, even the word hypocrites, the word hypocrites is taken from the language of Greek theatre. You remember in Greek theatre, there'd be the people, they'd be on these big stages with these big auditoriums around them, and they would hold these masks in front of their face. That was a type of theatre, and it was known as a Hippocrates or hypocrites. And a Hippocrates was a mask in front of face wearer. It was someone who would put a mask in front of them to try and portray a character that isn't them. It's an actor. Jesus is saying, when you pray, don't be like that. Don't try and put on a mask, put on a front so that other people see your prayer and think you're impressive. Just pray to God. He says, don't be like that. But then he says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen. See, what Jesus is encouraging is that when we pray only for an audience of one. The only person that matters in our prayers is God. Nobody else. Doesn't matter whether other people think you're prayerful, whether other people think you're impressive, whether other people think you're spiritual. The only thing that matters is what God thinks. That you have an audience of one. I want to say there's nothing wrong with praying together with other people. It's possible to take these words of Jesus too literally and to say you should never pray in front of other people. If that's the case, we all need to confess for having just prayed with one another just now. But of course, we should confess that by ourselves, not in front of other people, because that would be too pious. But no, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying we should never pray with other people. He's talking about our hearts. He's encouraging people to have a heart that is not about praying so that other people think this or that about us. Praying just because we want to pray with God. Now, you could take these words literally and say that the only times you can pray, you've got to go into your room, close the door. That's not the only way that we can ever pray. We can pray in lots of different ways, but it's that heart thing. But I want to encourage you that one thing that you could do that might be really helpful is to take Jesus very literally and take some times to go into a room, close the door and pray. It's a good thing to do. Or to find a place that is your prayer place, whether it's a particular bench on a park or whether it's a particular seat in your home or a particular room in your home. Particular part of your garden, wherever it is that you can say, this is a place that I'm going to set aside that is my secret place with God. No one knows about. Nobody needs to know about. It's just a place for me to go and be with God. Maybe that's something that you could do. That is taking Jesus very literally. But that's not always a bad thing. It's not the only way we can pray, but it is a good way we can pray. But it's all about having that audience of one. Only caring about God in our prayers, not about pointing around and hoping people will point at us. But then Jesus carries on. And then he says in verse 7, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I asked you to point around earlier on. Now we're going to point at our own faces. Because, there we go, thank you. So if we are praying for God, then the pagans, this new group of people, what they're doing is doing this, trying really hard to point at themselves so that God will really notice. They're trying to do it with their words. He says, when you pray, don't be like the pagans. Don't keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. These were people who would pray, and whether they were praying publicly or privately, they would heap up all of this big vocabulary and lots of clever words and lots of religious language and use all of these words, thinking that maybe God will notice them more or listen to them more because they've impressed God with their eloquence or with their intelligence or with whatever it is. These are people who think that they can sort of one-up God. They can twist God's arm by being just that brilliant. People who are trying to get heard. Sure, there's lots of people praying, so I need to make sure my prayers are extra impressive so that God will listen to them more than he'll listen to yours. That's the kind of heart of these people that Jesus describes as pagans. And then he says, don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God doesn't need us to impress him with our prayers. In fact, I really, really hope God doesn't need us to impress him with our prayers. Because if he does, I'm stuffed. I'm not that impressive. And with all the love in the world, neither are you. Not compared with God. Like that, if that's the benchmark, if we've got to impress God, it's pretty hard for the created one to impress the one who created them. Because even me at my absolute best, at my absolute finest, my absolute most eloquent and handsome and wonderful and applied and the very best version of me, the most that could do in terms of impressing God is make him go, yeah, I made that. That's the very best I can do. I can be the very best version of me that God made in the first place. I'm not going to impress him into answering my prayers. He knows what I need already. He just wants me to come. He just wants me to come exactly as I am. Again, you could take these words very literally and say, well, we're not allowed to use many words when we pray. And we certainly shouldn't use big, long words when we pray because then we're being like the pagans. If you speak with big, long words and lots of them, then pray like that. If that's who you are, if that's the way that you talk, if that's your personality, then go for it. If, though, you are fairly, short with your words, you don't use a lot, you, unlike me, you use a few words instead of many, then pray like that. This isn't about Jesus commanding the number of syllables we're allowed in a word in our prayers and the number of words we're allowed to pray before we get into an amen. This is about Jesus saying, don't try and impress God by putting on this persona that is other than you. Just be yourself. Come to him. He already knows you, and he already knows what you need. If the first bit was about having an audience of one, this is about using your own voice. The person who taught me most about prayer in my early days, because I used to think that prayer was very, very, very hard. That prayer was something that you had to be very clever or very spiritual or very, very, very mature to be able to do. But then I was in a youth group, and one of the youth leaders is a guy called James Pollard. And he's a great guy, not very eloquent. Stumbled over his words, stuttered quite a bit, couldn't, sentences would often, contradicted themselves by the end. He'd have his grammar all over the place. He wasn't very good at talking. Lovely guy, great guy, not very good at talking. And in my heart, I would have assumed that someone like that wouldn't want to pray publicly because he'd be embarrassed about doing that because prayers need to be proper. Prayers need to be correct. And so he would never pray because he would struggle, or he would only ever pray things that he'd previously written down or something. But I just saw him as a teenager praying exactly the way as he would talk, stuttering and stumbling and contradicting himself with his grammar all over the place and trailing off in a sentence because he didn't know how to finish it. And he was praying. And I remember thinking, he's just praying like himself. And that was one of the big things that got me praying, because I realized I could pray like myself. I didn't need to feel impressive. I just needed to be me. So the first bit was about having an audience of one, and the second bit was about using our own voice. Then why do these things matter? Well, two reasons I think they matter. First, because it says a lot about what we think God is like. The way we pray says a lot about what we think God is like. Because the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not about impressing other people. The hypocrites were trying to impress other people by being on the street corner or in the synagogue, being seen. The good news of Jesus is that we do not need to impress anyone anymore. That's part of it. We don't need to impress. We don't need to live up. We don't need to match up. We don't need to be better. We don't need to be anything. We just need God. We just need that audience of one, that savior of one. God is better than our world, which is constantly about impressing people. And that is good news. But it's also not about impressing God by being good enough. The good news of Jesus is that he came and died so that we don't need to do that. So that we don't need to impress God. We don't need to meet a certain standard so that we're good enough for him with our prayers or with our life, because he's come and done it for us. If we pray like the hypocrites, then what we're really saying is that we want God to know we're better than other people, not the good news of Jesus. And if we pray like the pagans, then what we're trying to say is, God, I'm good enough for you, not the good news of Jesus. The way that we pray says a lot about the way that we view God and our relationship with him. The other reason I think it's so important is that it says a lot about what we think prayer is for. If prayer is just a way of us getting one up on someone else, being more impressive like the hypocrites, if prayer is that, then, as Jesus said, we've received our reward in full. There's a strong chance that if you try hard enough, you can pray in a way that will impress someone else. I've been impressed by people's prayers before. I've definitely tried to use my prayers to impress other people before. I'm sure if we tried hard enough, we'd manage. And we'd get exactly what we want. Someone thinking we're impressive. We're getting nothing from God. Getting nothing from him, because we've already had what we wanted out of that prayer. See, if we want to minimize prayer to just being a thing that makes us feel better about ourselves, then we might get that. But prayer's about far, far, far more than that. Prayer can do amazing, powerful, wonderful things. Prayer is the... Charles Spurgeon talked about prayer as being the slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. There's a strong chance that when he wrote that, he thought that's an impressive phrase. That would impress other people. But like a tendon or a ligament or a nerve in our body can move a muscle, the muscle of God's all-powerfulness can be moved by our prayers. That is far better than someone thinking we're impressive. That is far better than us thinking we're a bit impressive. It's far better than that. So I want to encourage you. I started by asking, what's your lockdown prayer life been like? What's lockdown been like for your praying? I want to ask you, where do you want to move forward to in your prayers? How can you cultivate that audience of one? How can you find that space in your physical space or your space in your diary? Or how can you make sure that you are, at some point in your week, at some point in your day, praying just to be with God, with that audience of one? And how can you let yourself off the hook a little bit of needing to pray in certain ways? How can you make sure that you're praying just as you are, just being yourself? If you're a writer, write. If you're a drawer, draw. If you're a dancer, dance. If you're a wordy person, speak. How are you going to pray? How are you going to be yourself as you come to God instead of trying to be like an impressive version of someone else? So I'm going to pray briefly now, hopefully in a way that doesn't make you think I'm impressive, hopefully in a way that's just about me talking to God and you can listen in, and that's okay. I'm going to pray that our praying would grow, would be deeper, would be stronger. Lord, in another part of the Bible, your followers come to you and say, teach us to pray. And that's what we pray now. We ask that you would deepen us and strengthen us in praying. Help us to throw off any motivation, anything that might creep into our praying that is not simply about coming to you exactly as we are. Lord, guide us to become deeper prayers for you. That's our prayer this morning. Amen.
here at your feet, I lay my life down.